I told him, well, I said one of them, but
okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. No. Oh, that definitely helps, yes.
Me, it's the man.
Good job.
I'll kind of point you towards it. Do I look okay? Awesome. Thank you.
How are you?
I'll do yours.
Yes.
Your suit's here.
Okay.
Right there.
Yeah, I got it. I don't want to be, not that I would mind being misidentified with one of these fine gentlemen, but
yep.
So. Let's see you.
Who's here?
Congratulations.
Colonel and Tommy.
I don't know who was
good.
Colonel
is here.
Okay.
That really surprised me. I left yesterday.
Well, the opportunity for people to weigh in.
Thank you.
It's all worth it.
Yeah, I was really surprised.
Right.
Took some water.
I'm good, thanks.
Sure.
It's so great, though.
In Lincoln? Where?
Use the limit to remind Colonel Stella that our thing is coming. From Yucatan.
Yucatan.
Yeah. Juan. Juan. Simpatico, you see.
Siempre me peleaba con él.
Pero es easy, es de para él.
It's everything.
Okay. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the second day of the 2019 General Assembly. My name is Chieko Noguchi, and I'm the Director of Public Affairs for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Joining me is Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Diocese of Arlington and Chairman of the USCCB's Committee on Communications, and he'll be introducing our panelists today. Your Excellency.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Certainly, we begin with heartfelt, sincere congratulations to our President-elect of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Archbishop Gomez. Congratulations. Overwhelming support of your brother bishops. And joining us today on the panel are Cardinal Joseph Tobin, the Archbishop of Newark, the chairman on the Committee on Clergy, Consecrated Life, and Vocations. And as you learned today, after a great deal of collaboration and work, the bishops approved the United States, the Program of Priestly Formation, the sixth edition, for use in the Diocese of the United States, which will, of course, be sent to Rome, to the Holy See, for approval. So Cardinal Tobin can talk about the program for priestly formation. Archbishop Gomez, Archbishop of Los Angeles, President-elect, Bishop's Working Committee on Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. And you saw today, we approved the video scripts for five short videos to supplement the Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, and also a letter from the bishops to supplement that document. So that was the heart of our discussion. Archbishop Gomez can answer those questions. And Archbishop Leonard Blair, the Archbishop of Hartford, the chairman-elect Committee on Divine Worship, is also with us today. And he had two documents to present to the bishops, the translation of the Order of Christian Initiation Adults and the translation of hymns of the liturgy. I think it's the first time we ever had a performance, and it was under his presentation. So thank you, Archbishop Blair, for that. So the panelists are here to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Your Excellency. We'll go ahead and open the floor to questions from members of the media. I would request that the questions pertain to items discussed by the Assembly in this morning's session. And if you have a question, please signal to me and I will call on you. Jack?
Hi, this question is primarily for Archbishop Gomez, but really for anybody on the panel, regarding immigration and Hispanic population here in the United States, and something you've talked about a lot, which is DACA, which I know you released a prayer today that you wrote about the issue and the initiative, And it's been a big topic of conversation today. The president tweeted about it. And there were a bunch of Catholic protesters outside the Supreme Court as it considered whether or not to allow the Trump administration to cancel the initiative today in that case. So I'm curious, one, do you have any additional comment as the majority Catholic Supreme Court considers that today? And two, if it cancels it, which some think it will, what will you say to Latino Catholics who might be at greater risk of deportation?
Thank you for your question. Catholic bishops of the United States have been insisting to the elected officials that DACA, the approval of the presence of the Dreamers here in the United States is very important. And I think everybody agrees that it is a logical decision. Obviously, we have the situation of the elected officials not making a specific decision on that, and now it's at the Supreme Court. So we are praying for the good result of the Supreme Court decision in favor of the possibility of the Dreamers to be in the United States in a legal way.
And then I would also ask members of the media to please note your name and your organization and to whom you wish to address your question. Next question goes to JD.
I'm JD Flynn. I'm from Catholic News Agency. The person to whom I wish to address my question is Archbishop Gomez, though anybody can weigh in if they would like. Does the conference think that abortion is the preeminent social priority of our time? Can you help to unpack the two views were presented on whether or not that's actually what the church teaches. Can you help us to understand that debate and what the conference thinks?
I don't know, you want to make a comment?
Well, if I may, I just would say that the Pope Francis has said that our commitment is firm, must be firm, clear, and passionate. And of course, the Holy Father also says that there are many other issues of justice and suffering and upholding life that have to be promoted in our world. And I think it's fair to say that if you look at our document, you will find that the United States bishops have a long history of extending our concern about social justice and the preservation of life beyond the abortion issue. It's never been exclusively that, but I think we certainly would be taking to heart what Pope Francis says about it being firm, clear, and passionate. So I don't see it's either or, I see it's both and.
And also, I also would like to say that obviously the right to life is essential, because if there is no life, there is no need for anything else. Obviously, so I think it is for us, for all of us, is an essential aspect of the teachings of the church that people, that we have to protect the unborn, that they can be born. I don't know if you all want to say something.
And to answer the question, the letter that was approved does say the preeminent priority. And equally important, so by saying, using that phrase, preeminent priority, we're not diminishing in any way the essential items that all come under the umbrella of the gospel of life.
Yes, I think the short answer to your question, JD, is that yes, it is the preeminent. I mean, the vote makes that obvious. I think that there is a value in that because it's not in any way to be interpreted as one issue politics. A challenge, I think, for people who are thinking and rational is to form an opinion on the question of abortion when the unborn child has disappeared from the debate. It's conducted on a different status. However, the challenge is to help people who want to, with a lot of goodwill, consider this as the single issue to consider others.
Elizabeth?
Hi, Elizabeth Dias with the New York Times. My question is for Archbishop Gomez. Congratulations on your election. We hear a lot from the bishops about abortion, and I'm wondering, headed into this next year, how much more do you expect that we will hear from the bishops on immigration, and what do you expect that message to be?
Well, I think it's been a constant of the Conference of Catholic Bishops to talk about immigration, and we'll continue to do that. I think it is an essential, also an important part of what we do, because we have so many people that are all, that are our brothers and sisters in the United States that they, have an immigration situation. And then we have this situation at the border, which is a tragedy. I think I had the blessing of go to Brownsville and McAllen last year, and it wasn't as very challenging experience, seeing the suffering of the people that are coming. So one way or another, we also have in the Conference of Bishops a working group on immigration, that I'm the chairman of that, and we are constantly talking about immigration and especially encouraging our elected officials to do something. I mean, to come up with an immigration reform that is reasonable and possible. We also, part of the teachings of the church is that the countries have the right to defend their borders, that's for sure. But at the same time, there is the reality of the movements of people. I mean, that happens all over the world, and there are millions of people that are moving. So our suggestion or the encouragement to the elected officials is to find a good, solid, immigration reform that allows people to move legally. And obviously, we are also concerned, as I said before, about the protection of our borders for whatever we need.
Okay. The next question goes to Mark.
Mark Patterson from Catholic News Service. Questions for Cardinal Tobin. I don't think I could ask you to walk us through the entire program for priestly formation. If we did, that would probably suck out all the time we have here today and tomorrow. But maybe the short form, you know, we've been talking about things like, you know, for most of our adult lives, you know, pre-theology, theologate, service year, or whatever a diocese may want to call it. And now we have terms like the propedeutic stage, it doesn't exactly roll trippingly off the tongue, and the discipleship stage. What are those areas intended to replace or displace, and how do you see those being incorporated into the formation of seminarians on their way to priesthood?
Well, I think it might be helpful to make a couple of initial precisions. First, the exercise that just occupied us for the last 4 years was an exercise that was made necessary in a great way by a document that came from the Holy See a couple of years ago. For the first time since 1970, the Holy See issued a seminal document on that was to guide the formation of priests across the world. It's got a long Latin title, but we usually refer to it as the Ratio. And the Ratio integrated the worldwide experience of forming priests, what works, what doesn't work. And that funny sounding stage, the propedeutic stage, emerged largely from the experience of Latin America, where they were receiving well-intentioned and zealous young people for formation, but with some notable lacks in either in human maturity, in academics, or in spiritual formation. So remembering that the formation is a gradual process, you know, in its very literal sense, it's a step-by-step. What the PPF tries to do is, rather than say you spend so much time doing this and then you'll do this, and they say, what are the benchmarks that we look for at people who are finishing their initial stage of formation? I mean, what are sort of the measuring stick that really a bishop should, out of responsibility to the church and the larger community, take seriously. We tried to make it as least prescriptive, that is, you know, there are much fewer musts than there are shoulds. And just simply to give honor the diversity of circumstances in the United States. But I think the big difference is these stages with clear benchmarks that ask the bishops to incorporate this into their plan. The other observation I'd make, I hope it helps answer your question, is that it's not entirely a new document, as I said in presenting it. And important to remember that the four areas of formation, the human, the academic, the pastoral, and the spiritual, are still maintained as the guideposts. Thanks for your question.
Okay. The next question goes to Regina.
Regina Garcia with Associated Press. Archbishop Gomez, the three-year tenure of Cardinal DiNardo was complicated by the sexual abuse crisis in the church. What are your plans to continue to address that challenge and also and help restore some of the trust that has been lost in the church due to that issue?
Well, I will say that we are just going to continue to work on everything that we are doing. I think. We are still working on different ways of making sure that we support any of the victims of sexual abuse in each one of the dioceses of the United States, as we are doing already. So we continue to do that, and also on the specific way of addressing the document of the Holy See, Vos Estis Lux Mundi, in every single diocese of the country. And one of the priorities for the next few years is continue to support the anyone who has suffered as a consequence of sexual abuse. And we all support all the people that are helping us in many ways to address these situations. We have victim assistant coordinators all over the country in every diocese. We have our staff working on that, and we are totally committed to the protection of children and the support of anyone who has suffered as a consequence of this tragedy.
Ed?
Ed Condon, Catholic News Agency. Cardinal Tobin, this is primarily for you, but obviously, if any of you would like to weigh in, that'd be great. Cardinal Tobin, you very succinctly said, and thank you, that abortion is the preeminent social issue of our time, and you place that within a context that makes it very clear that to say so doesn't diminish any of the other priorities that, for example, Pope Francis has highlighted, the poor, the marginalized, the infirm, the elderly. But this morning on the floor, Bishop McElroy said in terms that to call abortion the preeminent concern was to be discordant with or opposed to Pope Francis's magisterium. Do you think that's a helpful characterization of what is clearly the sense of the conference, including yourself?
I think Bishop McElroy was warning against either exclusive choices, either or highlighting something to the point that other issues disappear. And I think if I understood his intention correctly, he was right.
Okay. Right. And I'm sorry. Father Reese.
This question would. I'm sorry. Tom Reese from Religion News Service, a question for both Archbishop Gomez and Cardinal Tobin. At the Synod on the Amazon, the bishops were very concerned about global warming and its impact on the Amazon and also on the world. And they called on developing nations to change their lifestyles in order to protect the planet. They feel, and scientists are telling us about the drastic impact of global warming. Millions of people will die, cities will be flooded. refugees in the millions because of this. It sounds like a pro-life issue to me, and I was wondering, is it also a preeminent priority of the conference to deal with the question of global warming? Can you have more than one preeminent priority?
I think that's what the cardinal was trying to say, that the intention of Bishop McElroy was precisely to call our attention to that, that there are not just one thing, but there are many things.
And I think part of the inspiration, genius, call it what you wish, of Pope Francis is he makes vital connections. In Laudato Si, he made, and first time in a magisterial statement, a direct connection between the environmental harm and human misery. And he pointed out very clearly in that document, which became the first statement on the environment to enter the magisterial, or if you will, the official teaching of the Catholic Church. He made that connection, and I think that the Amazonian Synod, I mean, we're going to wait to see what he has to say about it, but I'm sure he's going to be able to draw the concern for what happens in that vast region to very human and life issues. So while we have a tendency, I think, to compartmentalize, Francis is true to his vocation as a pontifex, as a bridge builder. Bridge builds bridges not simply between people, but between concepts and related issues. Thank you for the question, Father.
Maybe a practical thing is in many dioceses, we are already doing a lot for the environment. And I think, like in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, every parish is trying to find ways to address those issues. So I think the church in the United States is very sensitive to that.
We have time for one last question, which goes to Enrique.
Enrique Soros with Latin American Bishop Council. How do you think it can be implemented, your program, in dioceses and parishes, and if you think that will bring new life in the faithful?
May I ask, are you referring to the matters that came before us today or in general?
Today.
Yes. Well, of course, the translation of liturgical materials, for example, the hymns that were done, that were approved today, are in English. But I can assure you that represented on the Divine Worship Committee is Hispanic Latino presence, and there are parallel efforts that are being made in order to assure that liturgical quality and preparation and celebration there as well is affected. And as far as, you know, the bishops have an ongoing interest in really enriching and renewing the liturgical life of our country. In the midst of, in Hartford, we had a synod just last month, representatives of all the parishes, and this was discussed. People are interested in having a more beautiful, a more satisfying, a more prayerful experience of liturgy. And so we're trying our best to help bishops and priests and institutes, et cetera, to make that kind of improvement. I don't know if that answers. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Your Eminence and Excellencies, for your time this afternoon. We'll have another press briefing after the conclusion of this afternoon's session.